Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters. They came and drew water, filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherd. Also drew water enough for us, watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that he hath left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." Moses was content to dwell with the man. He gave Moses the part, his daughter. She bare him a son, called his name Gershom. For he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." I want to direct your attention to verse 19. The daughters, giving the account to their father, said that an Egyptian delivered us. I'm going to preach tonight by the help of the Lord. I am not an Egyptian. I am not an Egyptian. Let's everybody pray. Father, I love you tonight. God, we belong to you, Jesus. I pray tonight that you would offer this place. God, that you somehow put their hearts as present. You know the need that's here tonight. I pray, God, that you'll supply that need according to your abundant and glory. Now, be so careful, Lord, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
In the name of the Lord.
Praise.
Amen. Thank you very much. May you be here tonight.
Praise God.
At the time of the scripture text that I read to you, Moses had been freed for his life from the wrath of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. As he ran from that land, because Pharaoh had heard that he had taken the life of some of his men, and his anger was stirred up within him, Moses found himself in the land of Midian, where he was now dwelling, a man without a country, a fugitive, a vagabond, a man in hiding, a man on the run. And he found himself by a well. The scripture said that he sat down by a well. I remember the story about two buckets. One of them always complained. Said, "Every time I leave this well, I'm full, but it's not very long till I'm empty." Always complaining. But the other one said, "You know, every time I get empty, they always bring me back to fill me up again." Hallelujah. There's some beautiful things that happen at a well. Amen. There are some life-changing events that can happen at a spiritual well when you strike contact with water. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard of another little story of two little girls. Came running in out of a rose garden. One of them crying. One of them smiling. The one that was crying said, "Oh, mother," said, "on every rose bush there's thorns." But the little girl that was with her said, "Mother," said, "even though there's thorns, there's roses on every one of them bushes." Hallelujah. Depends on how you look at it sometimes. It depends on the way that you rationalize and the way that you
look at life and the way that you allow your life to be touched by the hand of the Lord. And Moses, a proper child, had been guided from the day of his birth. There were some things that happened in his life that were a direct and a complete intervention of God. If we go to Exodus chapter 1, verse 6, we find that it said, Joseph died, and all of his brethren, and all of that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful, and they increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them. And there rose up a new king over Egypt, who knew not Joseph. He said to his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, that they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. And they built for Pharaoh cities, treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. There's just something about God's people. You cannot stop a river. Hallelujah. It's virtually impossible to stop a living, vibrant stream, a river of God. Hallelujah. You might be able to plug up a little a pool somewhere, a little stagnant pool that's full of polywogs and tadpoles, but you'll never stop a river. Hallelujah. And this church is fed by the river of God. Hallelujah. I've heard it said, concerning missionaries in the foreign land behind the iron and bamboo curtain, that when they began to persecute them, that they would not lose faith in God. They'd simply go underground, and they would spread and grow just like a fire. Brother, when God's people are mobilized, you can't stop the plan of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we see that it was in this setting where this wicked king was administering cruel punishment upon the children of God, that the devil inspired him to take the life of all of the young boys that were born to the Hebrew women. And so he instructed the midwives. He said, when the Hebrew women deliver, they want you to kill the young boy. Save the young daughters, but Shiphrah and Puah, these midwives, they would not. They could not. And they refused to follow through with the king's commandment. So the king, in his wrath and in his anger, he charged all of the people, according to verse 22, saying, Every son that is born, ye shall pass into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. He wanted to totally annihilate the men that were to be born into the Hebrew children's ranks. Listen, there's something about men. There's something about young men. There's something about teenagers that are male that the devil hates. You hear me? God chose men. You hear me? If the devil can destroy the male figure, if the devil can destroy the head of the house, he can destroy the entire house. Amen. I said the devil hates men. And so we see he attacked all of the young men, and he ordered them to slay every baby that was born that was a boy. And so we see that as the event unfolds, that there was a man of the house of Levi that took to his wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, and she bare sons. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Every mother that's present can identify with the scene. Every mother that's ever given birth to children know the beauty and the joy and the excitement of holding that little bundle of life in your hand. And so it was that when Jochebed held Moses, she could not take the action that had been ordered to her to take that child and allow it to be destroyed. And so we see that she hid the child for 3 long months. You think about trying to hide a crying baby for 3 months. That had to be a chore. When they are dissatisfied, they don't have any other way of communication other than just, but you know, he's screaming, hollering, kicking. And so, no doubt this happened many times, and she would rush and would get very close to him. I'm sure that she was very close at all times so that this would not attract the attention of outsiders, and they would discover that Moses was in her home. Now you follow with me tonight, because we're headed somewhere. Now, when it came time that she could no longer hide him, she took him and took him with an ox, a bulrushes, and she daubed it with flies and with ticks, and she put the child there. Just think, I wish you could just allow your mind to wander to this mother. This wasn't just any old ox. This was the ox that would preserve the life of her own son. She made it with tender loving care. She made it with all the skill of an engineer, because it had to be right. It had to flow. It had to hold together. And I'm sure that some of the moisture that fell into that slime was from the tears of that mother that loved that child. Okay. She made it. She slipped it into the river. She stationed Miriam there so that she could watch. And there came Pharaoh's daughter down to the Nile. And she saw the ark among the people, and had her servants bring it to her. And she looked into the ark, and there it was. She opened it up, and the baby cried. You think about it. Little old pretty baby there laying in the sun, and it begins to just puckle up and cry. And it gripped the heart of Pharaoh's daughter, and she said, "This is one of the little people." And she knew the decree that Pharaoh had given, but somehow compassion gripped her heart. Miriam came and said, "Would you like for me to catch one of the Hebrew women so that she could care for this little baby?" She said, "Yes, you go get her." And so Miriam ran just as fast as a little old lady could drag her, and got Moses on my lap. You think about it. That divine providence. That's just like the love of God that we have heard about here tonight. Hallelujah. That's just like my Lord. Praise God. The very one that wanted to destroy all of these young boys was now the one that would be responsible for the care of Moses. Amen. The Bible teaches us that God will turn the way of the wicked upside down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could just worship God again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now let me tell you tonight, and here's where I've been headed. Moses in the household of Pharaoh. Moses, the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses placed there through divine providence. But Moses was not an Egyptian. You hear me? I said Moses was not an Egyptian. Moses was a Hebrew. He was born a Hebrew, and he would die a Hebrew. And listen to me tonight, an Egyptian is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of the world. Moses was not an Egyptian. I can see him as Jochebed would have him there and was caring for him. And she'd say, "Son, I've just got to tell you something. And the Bible doesn't say this, but I want you to know that I believe this with all of my heart. And I think that any of the mothers that are here will kind of chime in with me and say, it probably was that way. She'd say, now, son, I want to tell you something, and you must not tell anybody. You can't tell Pharaoh's daughter. You can't tell Pharaoh. You can't let this secret get out. This is our secret. This belongs to us. I am your mother. I'm your mother. You're not an Egyptian boy. You hear me? You are not an Egyptian boy. You are a Hebrew. You're a Hebrew. Don't ever forget it, son. Let me tell you that I heard one time from a noted person that the hand that rocks a cradle rules the world. The pains that you instill into the hearts of those children when they're little bitty babies will take them all the way through their life. You can't start too early teaching them to love God. You can't start too early teaching them to love the pains of God. You can't start too early teaching them to pray and teaching them to love the Bible. Oh, brother, we are not a part of this world. We are not Egyptians. Hallelujah to God. We're in this world, but we're not a part of this world. We're just pilgrims. We're just strangers. We're just sojourners. We're just passing through. I am not an Egyptian. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm not planning on staying here very long. Hallelujah. I haven't planted any permanent roots here. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm headed out of here. I'm headed for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not a part of this world. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. Let's worship the Lord. Praise God. Moses, you are not an Egyptian, son. Don't ever forget it. Moses, don't ever get involved in idol worship. Don't ever get involved in the false gods of Egypt. Moses, son, I want you to always remember, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. He's just one God. Hallelujah. He's just one Lord. Never forget it. Hide it down in your subconscious. Son, there's going to come a day when you'll have to make a choice. And don't forget, you are not an Egyptian. You'll have to make a choice, son. You're living in a position that you could be elevated to the head man over all of Egypt. You could be elevated to the throne, son. But you've got to make a choice someday. You're going to have to choose. Don't forget, you're not an Egyptian. You're not an Egyptian. Moses grew, a little boy, into a young man. No doubt he had anything he wanted at his fingertips. The best education, the best food, the best transportation. The royal guard watched over him, no doubt. Friend, let me tell you, he probably rode in the best chariot in the land. You see these young people, they want to get a hold of these firebirds and all this other stuff. I don't even know what's the most popular one. What's the most popular car now? Huh? Chrysler. I'm talking to young folks now. All right, listen. Come on, I want you to tell me what's the most popular. Huh? Got a great division on what's the most popular. All right, but I want you to know that whatever the most popular was in Moses' day, he had one of each time. Amen. He'd come in there with that royal steed, brother. He'd come right in there and say, hey, mama. And he'd say, mama, low, because he didn't want anybody to know it. He said, hey, look at this. Don't you like it? Brother, you plant that thing around there. Oh, man, this is alive. Hallelujah. After a while, or maybe the next day, he'd get on one of them chariots and he'd crack that whip. Pow! I thought, here they go. Right down through there. It comes bawling in the yard. Mama, look what I've got now. Look what I'm riding now. She says, son, you're having a ball. Son, you just remember one thing, though. You're not an Egyptian. You remember that you are a Hebrew. You remember that you've got a God. Never forget it, boy, never. There's going to come a day when you'll have to make a choice. There's going to come a day when you have to stand on your own. Every last one of you young people, I'm glad they're all over here, most of them in this area. I promise you there'll come a day when mother and daddy are not going to make some vital decisions in your life. It's going to be your decision. And I want you to know that the things that your mother and daddy have taught you is going to be vital in the decision that you make. I pray to God that they plant it in your heart. You are not an Egyptian. You are a Christian. First and foremost, you've got to not bring reproach upon the family, but don't bring it upon the name of our God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. We are Christians, first and foremost. I'm not an Egyptian. And so that day, that fatal day came when Moses went out and he viewed his brethren. It said it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and he looked on their burdens and he spied an Egyptian, mighty, a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Something snapped in him. That's my brother. That's my brother. He took the life of my brother, and he's going to pay. And so he rose up against him. He said he looked this way, and he looked that way, and he didn't see anyone. Said he saw no man, and he slew the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to them that did wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? He said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And it said that Moses feared, and he said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. And he dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. He made his choice. He made his decision. Amen. The scripture in Hebrews tells us about this beautiful decision. The day of a choice had to come. It said that Moses chose. And just as sure as Moses told, you will have to choose someday. Moses chose to suffer the affliction of God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hallelujah to God. Let's worship the Lord again. I want you to know, church, that the church has no league with Egypt. I say we have no agreement with Egypt. We are not a part of the Egyptian system. We are not a part of the Egyptian religious ecumenical movement that's in this world today. Because an Egyptian is interested in the things of this world. You hear me? I said they are interested in the things of this world. And the Bible teaches us that we are to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What do you do? Well, what do you folks do when you pray through? When you give your life to God? I'll tell you what we do. We go to church. Hallelujah. We love to go to church. Praise God. If we're not in church somewhere, we're in a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. If we're not in a prayer meeting, we're at a youth conference somewhere. We're not at a youth conference. We're at a camp meeting. We're not at a camp meeting. We're at some kind of rally. Brother, we're at choir practice. We are doing the things of God. Brother, what else? What else is there except the things of God? We are not an Egyptian. We are Christians. Hallelujah. We are sold out. I said we're sold out. Praise God. I thank God that there are young boys and young girls that are big enough to stand up in school and say, I'm not an Egyptian. I am not a worldling. I do not dress like the world. I don't care. Let Hollywood say that their styles have got to be worn everywhere. I'm not an Egyptian. I dress godly. Brother, let the styles come and go. Let the short dresses come in and go out. Brother, let me tell you, I'm going to dress godly. I'm going to dress soberly. I'm going to look like I'm a Christian at all times. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand back-footed and say, I do not do the things of this world. I'm not an Egyptian. Praise God. I am not an Egyptian. I don't cut my hair. Young girls, make up your mind. Don't stand up and say, I don't cut my hair because Brother Redness teaches me not to. Make up your mind once and for all. This is a stand. I intend to go to heaven. I'm not going to cut my hair because the Bible teaches me that the hair, long hair on a woman is a glory to her. Hallelujah. And it gives honor to God and to her husband. And brother, let me tell you, we need to make some old-fashioned commitments. We are not a part of this world. We're not Egyptians. Hallelujah. It takes people with guts, if I can say it that way, to live for God. Somebody said, just weak men and sissies and henpecked men live for God. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie out of the pit of hell. It takes a strong-willed individual. It takes a man with a backbone like a sawlog to stand flat-footed and say, I will not run with the devil's crowd. You hear me, young man? I said it takes a man with guts to say, I will not run with the devil's crowd. I won't talk their filthy language. I won't smoke their filthy pot. I won't do the things of this world. Why? Because I'm not an Egyptian. Hallelujah. Praise God. For the way some folk act, you'd think their backbone was made of spaghetti. Amen. You hear me tonight. We've got to have our mind made up. We're going to live for God at any cost. Going to Isaiah 31, he said, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, that stay on horses and they trust in chariots, because there are many, and in horsemen, because they're very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet also, he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back their words, but will rise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, and not God. Woe to them that go down into Egypt for help. Brother, men don't have the solution to the problems of this world. It's God that's going to give us our help. I said, it's God. We have to lift up our eyes and look into the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't trust in horses. We don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in Egyptians. But we trust in Almighty God. Said their horses are flesh and not spirit. We don't lean on the arm of flesh. We don't lean on the arm of flesh. You hear me tonight. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it is by thy spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. It said, when the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down. And they shall fall together. We've got to learn to put our confidence in God. We've got to learn to make up our mind. I am not an Egyptian. I am not a worldling. I don't go with the princes of the world. I don't run with the devil's crowd. I'm a child of God. I said, without a sin. Praise God. Tonight there are those that are here that have felt something that stirred you down in your soul. And I pray to God that that small stir will not end at the dismissal of this service. But I pray that that small spark will ignite the ignition point of a great flame that springs up in your bosom, and it begins to burn, and you begin to long to know Him. To know Him, hallelujah, in the fullness, in the fellowship of His suffering, in the power of His resurrection. Oh, tonight I feel the mighty presence of God, and I want to challenge the young folk. I'd like for the girls to come on this side, the boys over here. I want you to lead the way in this revival. I want to be able to look over here and see you praising God. I want to be able to somehow draw strength from you when Satan comes on like a flood and tries to stop the preached word. Please, every one of you stand. Just stand, please. Stand with your heart and your hands uplifted toward heaven. How many of you will declare tonight, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm not going to dress like the devil's crowd. I'm not going to go to the places of the world, because I've made up my mind. I'm going to be identified with God's people. Now, young people, you're here. You represent a vibrant, strong body that's able to go when others are in so much pain and broken health that they can't go. You represent a challenge. You represent the lifeblood of any church, because you're coming on and you're a very important part of this church even today. But you're going to be the adults of tomorrow that carry this thing on should the Lord tarry. Mothers, daddies, relatives, I wish you'd come and you'd pick you out a young person and you'd stand with them and say, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to help them to be victorious. We've not got one that we can lose. We've not got one that we can see get discouraged. I want you to do that, please. Just stand behind them. Put your hand on their shoulder. Lady, pick you out a young girl. Young man, you have somebody praying for you. There's somebody that cares. We're with you. We're with you. We know you fight a battle at school. We know that there are things that you suffer. But I know one thing. You can make up your mind. I'm not a part of this world. I'm not an Egyptian. I will live for God. No matter what happens, no matter what comes or goes, I'm going to make it! Hallelujah. Everybody else gather around if you will. In the name of the Lord. Praise God. Brother Grover, God can give you the Holy Ghost in this atmosphere. Just lift your hands and praise God. Just praise Him. You're not an Egyptian. You're living for God. Your sins are behind you. You're living for God. God has something beautiful for you. Hallelujah. I'm not an Egyptian.
Won't you take it?